I'm sitting here with Tony Schwamm, a retired lieutenant colonel of the Green Beret, and you have just authored a book. It came out this month, November, The Guerrilla Factory, The Making of Special Forces Officers, the Green Berets.
Thank you very much for having me.
You just returned from Afghanistan, but from the civilian operations.
I just got back from a tour with my tribe, so to speak. I was assigned at the Special Operations Task Force in Bagram, and I was leading a group of social scientists as part of an Army program. On the ground, you are, especially in Afghanistan, you're living in a completely asymmetrical 360-degree shooting gallery. You don't know where the threat is. There's no lines. There's no rear area. Everyone who's over there right now lives in harm's way all the time, 24/7. There is absolutely everyone lives in harm's way.
How long of a tour did you do there?
I was there for 5 months.
You only made vague references throughout the book, but being special forces can have a toll on family life.
Oh, absolutely. My first marriage really did not survive. It survived active duty. It didn't survive retirement. The deployments are very painful for family. There's no other way around it. And you can do a lot of especially now with the internet and the ability to call. And that's a double-edged sword because now you find yourself on a daily basis having an exchange with a family member and you're going on patrol. And you can't say anything about going on patrol. Or you could have been on patrol where you got hit, and you have to pretend in email that everything's okay.
You had combat experience, you were promotable, and you gave it all up to go into Special Forces.
I truly believe the mission. I truly believe what Special Forces represents. And
where did you get that core?
More than anything, at the end of Desert Storm, there was a strong sense that we had left a lot of things unfinished, which we have now realized we did. And it was a special ops mission to finish some of those things. And they weren't kinetic things. They were, how do we shape the post-conflict area, this post-war Iraq, to be something that we're not going to have to come back and invade in 2003.
Why did you write the book?
I wanted everyone to know the difference between us being special forces, and the rest of what people called special ops.
You described special forces two ways. You said they're either Superman or Daniel Boone.
The Superman is the one that most people think of, a barrel chest and freedom fighter, very handy with his weapons, physically attractive as well. You want the whole package. Superman does things on a very, very short timeline, usually measured in minutes or hours. Daniel Boone, on the other hand, and I chose Daniel Boone because he to me was the icon of working by, through, and with other cultures. He opened the West for us. He did a lot of very hard things. But he does them without a lot of technical skill. He does them with a lot of cultural skill. He learns languages. He lives with people. He subjects himself to great privation going for long, long expeditions. And that resonates with me because Special Forces, Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, when they go somewhere a long time, measured in months and years. And that's what Afghanistan has become. I mean, we have men who have spent years cumulatively in Afghanistan over the last 11.
Well, I asked you why you wrote the book. Who do you think should read it?
I would like anyone who wants to know what it means to be in the military, to what it means to send U.S. forces out, both in the conventional realm and in the special ops realm. This is what it looks like from inside the turret. This is what it looks like from underneath a Green Beret. And to very clearly understand that while the DOD is an amazing resource, it's a toolkit. It's not the carpenter. The carpenter is the White House. The carpenter is the State Department.
One of the things you mentioned why you wanted to write the book was to maybe help elevate Special Forces because it is still small when it comes to both budget and notoriety. People see the Superman side. They don't see the Daniel Boone side. Has it helped elevate at the Pentagon the Special Forces?
I would say it's way too early to make that call, and I'm not sure that it has the power to do that. What I would like to see is an acknowledgement that this philosophy of engaging other countries, of working by, through, and with indigenous forces as the primary strategy, not the sideshow. this is what we need to do, unless we're really going to war. And you have to be very careful when you say we're going to war. When you're going to war, you're talking about two nation states who have said we're going to kill each other, and whoever's finished wins. So there will be an unequivocal, categorical victory on one side. That's not what's happening in Afghanistan. That's not what happened in Iraq. That's not what happened in Vietnam. I would love the planners at Foggy Bottom and in the Pentagon and everyone else, if they read this book, to say, you know, we really need to put a little more emphasis on the culture. And I would answer, not just some emphasis, let the culture drive your decision-making, unless national interests are at stake, in which case you don't need us.